Hello, alumni. This is Mr. Strassman reaching out from TABC Guidance. I'd like to share an idea with you that we can derive from a subtle nuance in the psukim of this week's parsha, Parshas Vayechi. So there's this major encounter between Yaakov and Yosef when Yaakov is supposed to bless Ephraim and Menashe. And we see the psukim say, "Vayar Yosef ki yasit aviv yad yemino al rosh Ephraim, vayira be'enav, vayitmoch yad aviv lahasiro tah me'al rosh Ephraim, al rosh Menashe." Right? So Yosef sees that Yaakov is putting his right hand on the head of Ephraim, and that seems to bother him. Vayira be'enav, it was bad in his eyes, right? And he reaches out to move his father's hand off of Ephraim's head and onto Menashe's head. Vayomer Yosef el aviv lo chein avi ki zev habechor simi mincha al rosho. And he says, like, it's not so. Like, making a mistake. You got to move your hand onto the bechor's head. He's the one. Vayema'en aviv. And Yaakov objects. Vayomer yadati v'ni, yadati, gam hu yela'am. Right? So he tells Yosef, I know. Okay, relax. Everybody calm down. Like, he's also going to be a great guy. And he basically breaks the news to him. Like, you know, Menashe might be the firstborn, but you know, Ephraim's going to be a little more awesome. So he's going to get the right hand here. And, you know, you got to wonder, like, why does the Torah say Vayima'ein, that Yaakov refused, that he objected? We could just explain Yaakov's reason for switching the hands, and the pasuk would still make sense. You know, he still responds to Yosef's concern, but the Torah goes further than simply just addressing Yosef's concern. We see Vayima'ein, that he was opposed to it. He was, like, actively resisting, refusing. It's kind of strange. Like, you know, I can understand Yosef's concern. You know, if you look in the Mefarshim, you know, they explain, like, the Ramban explains that he needed the proper das, you know, in order to, you know, for the Ruach HaKodesh, you know, to work, you know, whatever that means. Like, there had to be something, you know, going correctly. And the Sfarno says that, you know, Yaakov's mind would follow the direction that his hand went. So, like, I could kind of understand how it would be important, you know, for him to put the right hand on the right son. And that all kind of makes sense. You know, and even looking in the background in the psukim, you know, the Torah says straight out that Yaakov couldn't see very well. He even starts their meeting by saying, "Mi Ela," you know, who are these people? Like, who's coming in with you? That's not off to a very good start. So, you know, we all know that Yaakov also doesn't have the cleanest track record when it comes to patriarchs who want to give out important brachos, you know, if you know what I mean. And the Baal HaTorim even draws a parallel along those lines between Yitzchak and Yaakov, you know, that they both were older and they couldn't, their eyes had dimmed. So, you know, when a preponderance of the evidence here, and it's really not so crazy for Yosef to feel on edge at this moment, you know, to maybe be a little upset with Yaakov's intention to put his right hand on Ephraim's head. You know, so what exactly is Yaakov objecting to? You know, Vayima'ein, like, what is he saying? I'm not old. Like, he clearly is. On what grounds does he have to react with such a refusal in that situation? You know, okay, he says, Yadati, he made his point. So what is the Torah further teaching us with this word Vayima'ein to specify that Yaakov just refused so strongly? And I think we can find an answer, you know, if we look at the other times that this word appears. And it's interesting to note that Vayima'ein only appears, you know, three times in total in all of Sefer Bereishit. And it might help us understand his reaction here if we look at the other times. So it's all part of the same storyline, so it's pretty interesting. So the first instance that Yosef is sold, and Yaakov is in mourning, and, you know, the Torah tells us that all his children, they're trying to comfort him. Yitnach, to be comforted. That seems, you know, kind of odd. Like, well, he won't be comforted. Like, whoa. And Rashi gives us a little insight into that. He says, let me get it here. Ein adam mekabel tanchumin al hachai v'savur shemeit, that a person does not accept condolences for somebody who's maybe alive, maybe dead, or we're not really sure. Right, when somebody's actually dead, and we know that, you know, then you can bring yourself to to admit it, that you're not going to see them again, that they're gone, but not on someone who could be alive. So, Yaakov refuses to accept condolences, because that would mean believing in his heart that Yosef had died, which he just couldn't do. And everyone's presenting him with this, reality, he's dead, he's gone, but he refuses to accept it. Vayimaein, he wouldn't let go of that connection to his son. And then the second time in Bereishis that we find the same word, Vayimaein, Ishes Potiphar is trying to seduce Yosef. And she says, Shichvayimi, and the Torah says, Vayimaein. It actually there's a shalshelis on the word there, so that's probably etched in our memories as, the time that we sort of just wake up, I was paying attention. But anyway, so Yosef, refuses in a big way. Right? He absolutely objects to the possibility that he's gonna sleep with Ishes Potiphar. And the Gemara in Sota on Lamed Vav Amud Beis kind of helps us, get in the mind of Yosef. Like, what was going on for him in that moment? Where did that refusal come from? And the Gemara tells us that when Ishes Potiphar grabs hold of him, he sees the image of his father. And his father says, Yosef, your brothers are all going to have their names etched into the Choshen. They're going to be inscribed there, and you're supposed to be right there with them, but it can't be if you go through with this. And in the end, he chooses to fight the temptation. Yosef is presented with one reality. He could give in to the demands of his master's wife. She is in a position of authority over him. And there's also the just regular temptation that any young man would feel put in that scenario. But he refuses. He couldn't let go of his connection with his father and brothers. That was more important to him. So perhaps there could be a similar kind of dynamic at play here in our parsha. You see all of the precautions about which hand goes on which son, and what kavana is Yaakov really going to have, and who's the Bechor, and which brother should be on which side of Yosef. All of this, these cheshbonos that the Mefarshim and Chazal make, and explaining these psukim, this whole context, they're all predicated on one assumption. And if it were just about correcting a mistake, then Yaakov's response would be enough. Like, he tells Yosef, he knows the right way to put his hands, and he explains the reason, finished. But the word Vayimaein tells us that there's more than that going on. Beneath the surface, Yaakov is really objecting to this unspoken reality that's presented by Yosef's displeasure, by Yerub Einav. So Yaakov is basically saying, you're telling me I'm making a mistake? You think I really don't know who my grandchildren are anymore? He refuses to accept that. He knows in his heart that he still has a strong connection with all his grandchildren. And we can see that his response to Yosef and the brachot he gives are really speaking to that feeling. Yaakov says, I know exactly who they are and what their individual strengths are. And here they are. I'm going to tell you them. He's going to be this one. He's going to be that one. And not only that, but Ephraim and Manasseh will always be counted as part of the Shvatim. Generations of Jews will bless their children through their names, Yisimcha Elokim ke Ephraim v'chi Manasseh. So Yaakov isn't just holding on to his connection with them, but he goes even further, and he solidifies it for all time. And maybe that's what we're supposed to tease out when we see that word, Vayimaein. It's signaling to us that Yaakov sees the reality that's presented to him, and he's choosing not to accept it. He objects, in fact. He's saying, no, I still hold that connection so strongly. And I think that maybe, that might be a valid message to you, alumni. That's how we feel toward all of you here at TABC. And don't think that just because you've been out of the building for so long, you graduated a decade ago, and now the yeshiva has no connection with you. Don't. It's not true. Don't even go there. I object. I hear that many of our rebbeim and our teachers, old and new, sometimes we really do, sit around and we reminisce about guys who have graduated as if we expect to see them walking through the hall, coming into the period, shooting hoops in the gym. We still recognize and appreciate all of your individual strengths and qualities, and we hope the time that you spent at TABC, the relationships you developed, the experiences you had, we hope you can look back at the yeshiva and still feel that strong sense of connection in just the way that we feel toward all of you. And if you haven't come by for a visit, please drop by in any time. The door is always open. Bring your spouse or your kids to a home game, go to reunions, alumni events. Let's keep that connection strong. Shabbat Shalom.